We might start. Can everyone hear me okay? Good, thank you. Welcome to the Wollongong Local Planning Panel. This is a panel which is constituted under New South Wales Planning Law, and the purpose of the panel is to hear from interested parties in relation to certain development applications and to determine those applications. So this panel takes over the role of the council as the consent authority to the applications that come before it. My name is Robert Montgomery. I'm a town planner by background, have some 38 years experience in town planning and in local government, state government, and also in private practice. I sit on this panel as an alternate chair and an expert member, and I also sit on two other Sydney panels in a similar roles. I'll just ask each of the other panel members to introduce themselves. Trish?
My name's Trish McBride. I am by profession a nurse, but I've done a lot of occupational health and safety work. I'm the community representative. I've lived in many countries around the world, so I've seen a lot of good and bad architecture, and I would like to see Wollongong continue creating some good architecture.
Brendan.
Oh, I'm Brendan Randles. I'm an architect and urban designer. Excuse me. I have a lot of experience in mixed-use development and residential. I design quite large buildings myself. And I've been on this panel since its inception, and beforehand I was on the independent hearing assessment panel that preceded it. I'm on quite a few design review panels in Sydney as well.
Good evening. My name's Larissa Rozog. I'm an expert in town planning. I've got over 20 years of experience in local government. Currently I sit on this panel and also on Cumberland Council's panel, and I work for Georges River Council in the development assessment area at the moment. So I've got a broad range of knowledge in probably more the local government sector.
Thanks. And I'll just confirm that prior to the meeting, each panel member signed a declaration that they have no conflict of interest. That declaration's on the public record. There's three items on the agenda tonight. We've been out to inspect each of the sites this afternoon. We've also read the officer's assessment report, which you may have seen on the council's website, and we've also read the submissions that were received during notification. The way that we'll run the meeting is that we'll hear from the submitters first, and then we'll hear from the applicant's representatives. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, and council staff will time that, so when you hear a sound, you'll know your 5 minutes is up, and I'll ask you to wind up fairly quickly. Don't be concerned if the applicant has longer than 5 minutes, because the panel expects the applicant to respond to the matters that have been raised by submitters that spoke prior to them. The meeting's audio recorded, so when we call your name, please come forward, sit at the table there, speak nice and clearly and project into the microphone so it's recorded, and also so that everybody else can hear you. Following the meeting tonight, the panel will adjourn, we'll close the public part of the meeting, and the panel will deliberate and make their determination after the meeting. The determinations will be published on the council's website, usually within 3 working days. Okay, we'll start with item 1, which is 16 Smith Street, Wollongong. This is a proposed construction of a residential flat building. We have one submitter registered, Mr. Mark Crisafi. So Mark, here, would you like to come forward, start with your name and address, and as I said, the panel's read your submission.
Yes.
So there's no need to repeat that, but just let us know exactly what your concerns are and how this development may affect you.
Okay. My name's Mark Crisafi. I live at 6 Arda Avenue, Fig Tree.
co-owner of the neighbouring property of the development site. I'll put together a spiel of what I'm about to say. Council have rules put in place for good reason, yet in this DA application, it is my perception that these are mere obstacles that can be worked around. I will start the rule of isolation, a lot in isolation. The time and date line will show that the SEAD property group engaged the services of architects, had plans drawn up and other various planning reports, all at significant costs, before making any contact to purchase the adjoining allotment. This was a step they needed to do in order to have the DA approved, and that's all it was. Their actions don't show any real intent, and the brief phone conversations that were had indicated that a larger development of the two lots would cost more than they could afford. Mr. Siad is a real estate agent and should know better than anyone that it is not unreasonable to expect an offer higher than market value when obtaining the property for commercial purposes. Overall, our contact was very limited. The second point of lot width is well outside the rules, yet I feel it's been played down to a mere technicality. The application is for a six-storey building, which in itself is a building of maximum size for the lot, yet in this case, the width of the lot is almost 4 metres narrower than the rules have been put in place to prevent this very situation. This leads directly to the next point of the building not being in tune with the surrounding area. There are no other buildings of this height on a single lot in the immediate area, let alone be 3.8 metres under width on the single lot. Council might be happy with the setbacks, but this in itself makes the property look more out of place, as it has to be narrower than any other building in the area while still being six stories in height, which puts it up there with the tallest buildings in the area. If this proposed building is in context with the surrounding buildings, please inform me of other buildings that are six stories high and on a 3.8 metre narrower lot than the requirements stipulate. And it's only, I don't know whose perception it is that it would blend in with the streetscape other than being a tall building of high density, because there are no other buildings of its like in the area. It's my perception that if this DA is approved, the council's now setting a new precedent for 20 metre wide lots and open the floodgates for other such developments. It has been shown that the proposed development of 16 Smith Street does not impact future development of 14 Smith Street. Part 4, Principal Development Standard, states that number 14 Smith Street contains flat building, which is not strata subdivided, and is a corner lot with width exceeding 24 metres. Well, this is not accurate, as 14 Smith Street does not have a lot width of 24 metres. I'm unsure of the exact width, however, it'd be closer to the 20-metre mark. Does this affect the potential building accuracy that has been proposed? We raise concerns over the stack of parking and the potential safety risks. Council's traffic engineer has reviewed the proposed basement layout and has no objections. This may comply in theory, but the parking area requires traffic lights to prevent interactions. Does this council have traffic studies or feedback from body corporate minutes or any other properties using this system? Parking's already at a premium in this area, and a system that is cumbersome and time-consuming to use will lead to residents parking on the street, particularly for short durations. Has this aspect been considered? In conclusion, if this DA is approved, council will contradict itself. To achieve the required setbacks, the building will be very tall and narrow. How can this fit in with the planning for the area when its size and shape will be very different to any other building in the surrounding area that now exists? That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Crisafi.
Thank you.
Before we ask the applicant's representatives to speak, is there anybody who wishes to speak on this matter that didn't register? No? Okay, well, I have registered Fadi Saad, the applicant, Peter Rasa, the architect, and Rachel Harrison, the town planner. Perhaps, I mean, the same rules apply, but obviously would expect some responses to the issues that have been raised. I'm happy for all three of you to come up if you wish, or one of you who's representing the three.
Can I just ask the gentleman?
Yeah, sure.
Before you speak, can I just ask...
Can you just turn your mic on?
It doesn't work, I don't think. Oh. Does it?
Yeah.
Sorry, just wanted to ask you back to the point you raised about offers made. So I presume you're the property, you're part owner of the property next door. And when were the... What offer was made? Have you had...
The offers that were made,
yes.
That was in the...
In the report?
Yes, the offers that were made were correct. That was in the report.
Is that market value, or is that what offer were you made? Because it is quite specific. There's been a recent court case about how you have to provide offers.
Well, the offer that the market value that he provided, I haven't had one done myself to.
So you haven't even questioned whether that's the you haven't had an independent.
If we go off some other properties that have sold in the immediate area, there was one that sold around the corner for $3 million. Only less than a month ago, and his offers were nowhere in that vicinity.
What was your... Okay, you were given an offer, and how much time were you given to then...
Oh, there was no pressure.
In terms to respond to that offer?
No, there was no pressure to respond.
Just wrote back saying, no, I don't accept this offer?
We, at all times, were in agreeance for selling. That was never in question. But I wasn't going to be giving the property away. It wasn't my choice to be selling at this particular time, but because the opportunity came up, I wasn't objecting to that possibility.
Have you got an independent valuation on your property?
No, I haven't had an independent valuation on the property.
Okay, yeah, no worries. Thank you.
So apart from that and your criticism of the character of the building, are there any other impacts on your actual building? Because they
shadow was a concern. If I go off the report, and I'm only taking it at the face value of what was written, it says it complies now that they've done modifications to the building. If that's the case, I'm no expert on the matter to know whether those shadow lines comply or don't, or outside of them. But yes, we've got, as we stated, clotheslines for the property that down that western wall, and that does have impact, but whether that impact is outside what the rules and regulations are, I'm uncertain.
And they did provide a plan showing, because you're on a corner site, that you can develop your building.
Well, that's where I raised the question of the 24-metre frontage that it states in there that we have.
Well, they're probably measuring the length as the frontage, because you've got two frontages.
Well, if our address is Smith Street, I took that as being the frontage. Wilson Street's the long
that's
part of
that,
the property.
That's what they've quoted back to you.
Okay, thank you for that, sir. So obviously the panel's got a good understanding of the plans that have been submitted, and we've read the assessment. So perhaps you can focus on the things that you want to point out to us and responding to the submitter's comments.
So my name is Fadi Saad. I'm the owner of 16 Smith Street. In regards to Mr. Grisafi's quote that we didn't make an offer in the right way, well, when we first bought our block of land, we thought, we're going to try and do some sort of development. Yes, we knew there was a bit of a shortage on the frontage, so we got some professionals' opinion. It wasn't until we spoke to council when we came into one of the meetings that they said, look, you need to make an above-market value offer on the neighbour's site. I just thought, being a block of units, we didn't even look at if it was Torrens title or strata title. We just knew that there was units either side of our block, hence it being isolated. And that's when we came back and put an offer to Mr. Grisafi and his brother. I actually got a valuer go out there and give us a vowel. It's in one of the DAs that we sent through. That came in at just on either side of 2 million. We paid, to give you a bit of background, same size lots. We paid 1.7.
I'd rather you not mention figures the panel doesn't really need to.
Okay. But in terms of
to get involved in that, but I'll probably make the comment that
was it above market value?
The panel's satisfied that
the
applicant's done what it needs to do to satisfy the consent authority in terms of the issue.
Yeah,
of
so I went through that process after we got the advice from council, put that to the guys. They came back to us with figures that pretty much said we don't want to sell more than double. So we just proceeded with lodging the plans. It got rejected on the first DA, and we've come back with this one here.
Okay, thank you.
I forget what else there was
there. Yes, we understand that.
Yes.
I think shadowing, the submitter mentioned.
I guess talking about that, as the planner, we were also involved in the first application. So we've been with the owner from the word go, I guess, with this one, and have gone through what we would think are quite considerable design changes from what was originally proposed to now ensuring that the tree on that adjoining property to the west is retained, and to incorporate that the design had to change. Reduce the amount of units to now there's only one unit per floor to what the previous one was. And if this one has been through three, and Peter might talk more about that, but three design review panels to make sure, I guess, that that the design was as best it could be from the professional opinion, and we believe it is and has evolved over time and made all the suggested changes to that we feel now quite confident that it is quite quite a good and good looking building for the site, that is high quality, that would of decent size units for prospective people in there with great amenity, and at the same time achieving the amenity requirements to the adjoining properties.
Yes, please. Can you just turn that microphone just to pick it up for the recording?
In the street context, the previous speaker spoke about there not being a narrow building such as this in Smith Street. If you go along the other side of Wilson Street is a development called North Bay, and to the east of that is a very narrow eight-storey building, I believe. It was actually designed by an ex-Wollongong town planner, or ex-Wollongong chief town planner. So it's not out of context. And as Rachel said, we've been through several iterations, and I think the other comment, sorry, was about the stack parking. And as we all know, stack parking is becoming quite common. Mm-hmm. And the mention of having a queue on the street is not correct, because the way you come in, you can stand there and wait for that to happen. So I think the parking works fine. So, and as I said, I think the iterations we've gone through, I think it's produced a high-quality building. And I think the one unit of floor is a much better way of doing it. We're able to follow the topography, so I think it's come out a very good development.
Thank you for that. I'm sure we've got some questions for you. Who'd like to start, Brennan?
Peter, how many apartments were there per floor in your iterations? No, but through the iterations, what have you come from to?
Oh, no, there was always one unit.
There was always one.
Always
one.
DA, it's
been modelled.
Yeah, there was nine offered units in the first DA, and then we said it's...
Oh, they were two per floor for a while?
Yeah. Yeah, then when we started, we said one unit of floor is going to be a much better approach to this issue.
Okay. Right. And you've been to the design review panel twice with this...
Three times.
...scheme? Three times, yeah.
Okay. Fine-tuning.
So can I ask, the buildings you've mentioned that are thin and tall, how old are they? Are they recent?
North Bay's not. Just in context, North Bay's a large building.
Yep.
That was in the 80s. The next door to that, I think it's called Norfolk. Yeah, I couldn't give you the age of it. It's probably in the 90s, but a very narrow
building.
Right,
so have you got any examples for the current LEP, which is from 2009?
Yes, we've done some work on Cliff Road on isolated sites. Isolated sites that are 15 metres. We've done four-storey, a couple at four-storey, one at five-storey.
Okay,
so yes,
you're
it's not uncommon.
Council has approved?
Yes.
Yes. The small, right.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? No. No. Just in relation to the parking stackers, I think I've got this right. Each stacker is owned by the same unit.
Yes.
Yep.
So there's no, you're not relying on somebody else using the stacker.
No.
Yeah. So you sort it out between. Yeah, okay.
And you'll note there's five double stacking units. But
yep.
For the adaptable unit, there's also another space with a shared space
yep.
beside it.
Yeah, and look, I think that your comment is correct. They are becoming more common.
Very much so.
And I think the type of stacker that you're proposing, where it's just a two stacker and it's owned by the same owner, I think is quite a reasonable solution. I've seen other solutions where they're not owned by the same,
yes.
and of course then you need to get into the automated mechanical things where you wait for the car and all
yep.
of that. But I think what you're proposing at this scale is quite okay in terms of the car park stacker. Okay.
I think in the previous DA, there were two varying basement levels of parking, and that became quite problematic. And that's why we said we should just have the one level of basement parking and treat the driveway differently. And that's why the driveway's been changed, and it's not just... It doesn't look like a long driveway the way we've treated it. So we've been able to hide the basement areas and just make it a lot more aesthetic.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, that completes item one. Thank you for your attendance.
Thank you.
We'll move on to item two, which is... 7 Dawson Street, Fairy Meadow. It's a proposal for 32 multi-unit dwellings and subdivision. I have two submitters registered. The first one is Domenico Fusco. Please come forward and if you can let us know your address and also your concerns. Before you start, I'll just ask you a question. Are you aware of the recommendation that's before us tonight on this application?
Yeah, that it's been refused.
Recommended for refusal.
Yes. Cool. I just want to enhance on that. And
yeah, no, that's fine, but I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that.
Oh, yes, I'm aware of that.
You.
I've read the
yep.
the report. My name's Dom Fusco. I actually live across the road from 7 Dawson Street. This is the third iteration of this particular plan. It's obviously been bought by another person and been put in place. The development hasn't changed substantially. I've reviewed the WLPP report, or to the WLPP. Most of the concerns were noted, and I was heartened to say that the council has actually refused the development. But I just wanted restate the impacts that this development has. It's flooding, traffic and safety. Flooding is paramount. It impacts the community, property and lives. Those that experienced the 1998 floods are fully aware of its disruption. Council has invested significant resources in flood studies. They have a good understanding of the impending problems and the problems we face in the area. Bianco's modelling in their flood study is at very best an approximation. Selection of modelling parameters greatly influences the study. The parameters are difficult to quantify in the field. Models require copious amounts of data to reflect prevailing conditions. On the other hand, without the use of models and using the assumptions of the 1998 floods, that was a 1-in-100-year flood, provides more clarity. The crude approximation reveals that 50% of this development will be inundated. Right? This was done simply by superimposing the flood levels onto the development. This is a best case situation, actually, because the creek levels have raised themselves by 600 millimetres. And I'm quite aware of it because I keep track of it and I keep hounding council about creek levels and flooding around the area. But the word that is missing from Rienko's report is climate. We are faced with an uncertain future in relation to our climate. When we should be retreating to higher ground, why are we even proposing developments on floodland? Why put future residents in harm's way? Why ask them to shoulder the economic and financial losses which goes with that? Why not develop responsibly and reduce the burden on existing residents? I have on several occasions proposed to council that they purchase the land and turn 7 Dawson Street into a detention area, which has been done at Green Slopes, further up the hill. It would capture and slow down the water so that adjacent residents and the people in Hope Street, or Hope Crescent, Hopewood Crescent, have some relief from these floodwaters, because Hopewood Crescent floods quite regularly. It would allow council to install trash barriers, stop the debris from travelling downstream, and able to maintain creek cleanliness. The second item that has me riled up is traffic. It's an important issue along Cabbage Tree Lane, as it's a collector link, and Dawson Street is a minor collector route. When the Princess Highway, there's an accident on the Princess Highway between Mount Ousley and Fig Tree, what happens is this route becomes congested. You can't get through our street because it's a collector route, right? So keep that in mind. At peak times during the week, it is difficult to get out of the street. Though this affects a limited number of people along the street, 32 more vehicles will actually impact greatly on us. And we'll have difficulty. I read in the report, the stormwater engineer indicates that PMF mapping provided shows there is significant effect on upstream properties. I understand that. I know that because I've had a flood study done and I know that how much my property would flood. But one of these assets is the road. This is a road that we're flooding, and this is where people are supposed to be travelling. If anybody saw the 1998 floods and saw people risking their lives and cars getting picked up and thrown to the other side, they'd know what it meant. So we are putting a development in to flood a road, which is a major asset to council. So I don't understand that. But one of the things I would want to put on record, and this is to council, and I've done it before.
I'll just let you know that's your 5 minutes, so if you
want to wind up quickly. I'm winding up very quickly. But this is important, that under the road there is a culvert. But that culvert reduces substantially when it goes into the property and under the house. The culvert goes from a 3-cell, 1.8, 900 millimetre, 3-cell by 1.8, 900, to a single cell, 2.4 by 1.4. It reduces the cross-sectional area of the drainage duct. This causes water to spill onto the road during heavy downpours. If they are going to approve this development, they need to make it a feature of this development that they remove the non-approved. It is not approved. That culvert under there was just built and placed there. It reduces the flow. So we are actually endangering lives. Local council has a responsibility to mitigate impairment of infrastructure, both private and public. Climate change will burden current and future residents with disruption. We cannot allow developers to build and walk away and leave unsuspecting purchasers with imprudent developments. The current developments proposed is both ambitious and detrimental to the surrounding. The Wollongong Local Planning Panel should reject it based on council's recommendations and residents' concerns. There's my 5 minutes worth.
6 minutes, actually.
Oh, that's okay.
Thank you for that. The next speaker is Stephen Bozick. Stephen here.
My name's Stephen Bozick and I live at 6 Dawson Street, opposite the proposed development. A lot of what I was about to say was covered by Don. In my written submission, I wrote a 5-page submission, covered a lot of points, so I know, like I said, I might be covering some old ground. The only information I could probably maybe glean is from reading the report. And the only thing that I can add to Dominic, I think in that last point about the Dawson Street culvert. Now, I think in 2010, the flood study, floodplain risk management study and flood risk management plan, there were a number of projects that were proposed at the time. And I think one of them was for the Dawson Street culvert. The project includes upgrading the existing culverts and there was a need for bollards downstream of Dawson Street and road depth indicators to enhance public safety during flooding. Now, as I'm aware at the moment, I'm sure that that work hasn't been done yet. I did read, Wollongong City Council's draft infrastructure delivery program, 1922-23, and that project was listed there. For 2019-20, it was in the design stage, and it was proposed for construction in 2021. So, again, like I said, that's been what, over 10 years, and like I said, it is a recognised floodplain. And I think, like I said, I agree with Dom that if any type of development needs to be done, that work really has to be a priority. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. I'm glad to hear that the works are programmed for the next year or two. Obviously, the council in its flood study, I'm sure that there were lots of areas where works like that were identified, and clearly, pardon me, it's the council can't do everything at once, so I'm glad to hear that. And also, just in response, I understand that the applicant's not here, there's no representative of the applicant. I'd just make the comment that your concerns about flooding are obviously shared by council officers, because the council engineers don't accept the flood modelling that's been provided either. All right, so there's no further speakers, nobody who didn't register who wishes to speak. Yes, come forward if you can tell us your name and your address and your concerns.
I didn't register because
okay.
I was out of town.
My
name is Draghi Kosofsky. I live at 4 Dawson Street, Ferrymeadow, and I'm against this proposed 32 proposal. And like the other two speakers have said, my main concern, like you wanted to know, is my main concern is traffic. As you know, Dawson Street is a short street between Cabbage Tree Lane, Hopewood Crescent, Russell Street. Now, there's a lot of traffic that goes through that short street. Now, putting a 32 proposal up there on that little short street is going to cause chaos with traffic. On top of that, you've got the floods. But more mainly concerned me, in particular, is the traffic. At the moment, I cannot get out of my house because of the traffic that goes from Cabbage Tree Lane to Dimmock Street to Hopewell Crescent. Now, putting 32 more lots in that across the road is going to increase traffic. And Trish, your OH&S safety and stuff like that, you should know there's going to be a lot of garbage bins there, there's going to be neighbours that go there, there's going to be friends that go there, there's going to be relatives, there's going to be more traffic than actually our residents actually live there. And it's going to be a chaos. Now, at the moment, like I said, I cannot get in my house. Now, putting that development through is going to cause more harm than good. That's basically all I have to say. Traffic.
Thank you for that. Well, that completes item two.
Can I just ask a quick question? You have all the submissions that
Yes, we have. We've read those. If you want to speak, you're welcome to speak.
No, quite a
okay. We have read those. And just to be clear again, the recommendation is for refusal. That's before us tonight, not for approval. Okay, so that concludes item two. As I said, the panel's decision will be published on the council's website within a few working days. You're welcome to stay if you wish for the last item, but there'll be no further discussion on item two, so I'll leave it up to you. Item three is 31 Hutton Avenue, Bulleye. It's a proposal for a dual occupancy development and two-lot subdivision. We have two submitters registered. The first one is William Lanane. Is William here? No? No? Well, we have Ben Beast-Bassant. Is that? Please come forward. And sorry if my pronunciation was wrong.
No, it's not too bad.
And if you can start with your address and then tell us what your concerns are.
Yep. Good evening, all. Ben Beast-Bassant. I'm at number 33. So on the top side of the proposed development. Yep. So I've looked on the Wollongong website. I've looked at the proposed DA, and in consult with my town planner, I've identified many issues with this proposed DA. Firstly, I'd just like to say we're a very tight knit community. Everyone gets along very well on the street. And my grievances on some issues, as I'll outline, are shared by a lot of people, hence the number of disputes that were lodged, I believe, in this matter. The construction is completely out of character with the houses on the street. There are currently no duplexes on Hutton Avenue or surrounding streets. Admittedly, we do have the Housing Commission block located on our street, but it is located on the lower side of the street with reasonable setback from the street and is recessed from the street level. In this proposed DA, the shadow diagram is completely incorrect, inaccurate and possibly fraudulent. The diagram as it is shows the sun rising in the north and setting in the south.
You just want to be careful about using the word fraudulent.
I'll retract that statement then.
Yeah. I mean, you can say it is completely not accurate, but
I'll say incorrect and inaccurate. I'll stick to that. The diagram as it is shows the sun rising in the north and setting in the south. This clearly does not show the shadowing that will be substantial on my premises at number 33 or on the premises of number 29. If this shadowing were correctly displayed, rising in the east and setting in the west, it would obviously be of a greater concern to myself and the owner and occupiers of number 29. In the proposed DA, the building setback does not comply, as I believe they've shown, but the variation statement provided for the reduced setback is incorrect also. There is no reference to an asbestos plan for the removal of the asbestos on the premises. There is a large amount of asbestos on the existing premises, with the entire roof being of asbestos sheeting. This is obviously a serious consideration in a residential area that we live in, with a high flow of pedestrian traffic and people living in close proximity. In the proposed DA, there are significant privacy impacts resulting from the direct alignment of windows between my house, number 33, and the proposed dwelling that has not been addressed at all in the DA. Significant privacy impacts resulting from the first floor rear balcony that has not been addressed at all in the DA. My premises, including the pool area and backyard area, will be overlooked by the rear balcony of the proposed DA. There's been no assessment made against the State Environment Planning Policy, Coastal Management Act 2018. There's been no assessment against Council's DCP chapters B02, D01 or E19. Application has been made for subdivision, but there has been no assessments against council's LEP or DCP controls. Subdivision would create undersized lots if Torrens title is proposed, as indicated on DA tracking. Private open space in the rear yard is disconnected from the internal living areas at the front of the dwelling. Further to this, turning a single dwelling into a dual occupancy would create obvious issues with street parking. Currently, there are too many parking... currently we already have issues with on-street parking. In the DA, there's obviously proposals for garages, but as we know, people own a lot more than one or two cars these days. We have the Housing Commission block, where obviously there is a great number of cars on the street from that block. And during school pick-up and drop-off times, they've now opened a second gateway on the street, which now means during this time there's obviously a great many cars and children and people walking on it, to the point where you can only drive a single car up the street. To that point, my wife actually had an accident just out the front of my place with my children in it, which resulted in injuries, and that was based upon someone driving too quickly up the road. And as a result of this extra gate that's been opened, which has now created it's chaos really during school pickup times. I think it's quite dangerous. And there's also lots of children and young people moving around and on the road. Yep, that's my submission.
Thank you for that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Sorry, before you go. I was just... thanks for that.
Yep.
We've noted down some your issues. The loss of privacy from the rear balcony?
Yes.
I can't quite understand how that occurs.
How it...
Because the rear balcony is here, and the fence is here, so I can't see how that's causing privacy impacts.
From over the...
Yeah.
Can I have a look? Sorry, I can't
see. No, sorry. Okay. Well, the rear balcony is on... It's not up there. It's here. So it's basically at ground level, and there's a fence, and you're on the other side there. Like, it's not up there. That's not balcony.
What's the fence?
It would be 1.8, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's standard fence. Like, did you think that might be the balcony? Oh, right, I see. Yeah, so there is an outdoor space there, but I didn't feel as though that would impact on you.
Just
I thought some of these side-facing windows could.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just before you go, you mentioned that you were concerned about overshadowing.
Yes.
This is the shadow diagram.
Yes.
This is, and north is that way.
Yeah.
So this is at night. This is your property here. And this is the sub-proposal. So at 9 a.m. when the sun is over here in the east, there's shadow over part of the rear of your property. At 12 p.m. when the sun is to the north and up higher, there's no shadow.
Is this on the council website?
Yes, it would have been.
It was updated because it was incorrect.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen the updated version.
Oh, all right.
It's the original version.
Yeah. So... yeah, so I'm just... Well, that's good that we can explain that to you, because if the first one was incorrect, you know, just by my looking at it, and I'm not an expert in shadow diagrams, but to me it looks right.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm just going on the one that was...
That's okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that happens from time to time.
Yep.
Okay, thanks for your submission.
Thank you.
No one else who wanted to make a submission... who didn't register, other than the applicant, sir?
Evan Raquel. I'm the applicant.
Oh, you're the applicant, yeah. Please come forward.
I won't talk too much. The property owner was due to be here, but he's coming from Sydney, so... I'll just address a couple of things that Ben's just raised, if I can.
Yes, please.
the shadow diagrams have been updated a couple of times. The first time by request from the assessing officer for to correct an error in the original submission. So we provided diagrams for 9, 12 and 3 through the winter solstice. It was then further requested that we provide hourly intervals, so we provided 9 through to 3 p.m. Which is probably what Ben doesn't have a copy of, and you're welcome to take that if you want to take that with you. The windows to the west, the building's been designed to step with the site, so with the fall of the land. I think the only windows to the west, particularly on the top floor, are highlight windows. So we've positioned a bedroom, a walk-in robe and an ensuite. And I think from memory there's only one window facing west. There is also a privacy screen to the balcony. So effectively all those windows in the adjoining property were surveyed, and there is no overlooking or privacy loss impacts from that top floor.
And those ground floor windows are bedrooms, I think, aren't they?
Correct. Yep. I think there is a kitchen window. One.
And I think that's a height. Just have a look. There is one highlighted window on the ground floor. Yeah, here's the kitchen.
Yeah. I believe there's a dual occupancy that has been approved at number 42. I don't know whether it's actually commenced construction. I wouldn't think that it has. But if you did want a copy of the assessment report for that DA, I do have that with me, which indicates street elevations, sections, and also a photograph indicating 31 and 33. The existing built form.
Yep, happy to accept that. We are aware that there's been one dual occupancy approved in the street.
Sure.
Yep.
That's all I had to add.
Okay, thank you. Questions?
Could I suggest something? The requirements in this area for
It's one car up to 125 square metres of GFA. Anything over that triggers two parking spaces per dwelling.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things we've noticed coming towards the submissions on this site has been the streetscape and character.
Sure.
And there's another one that's common is the street parking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, look, we're out there today, and sorry if this is a little bit small for you to see.
No, it's okay.
But we sort of agreed that really providing one garage and a space for a car in the driveway is better than the idea of two cars side by side.
Right.
Because then it allows you to have a landscape and a path to your front door. And we just thought that's a better arrangement, and that will go some way to addressing that problem in the street that you're finding just big double garage doors, which would be pretty awful. So we noticed you haven't drawn that. You've drawn one garage door and then a sort of suggestion the car sits and that the other car sits beside it.
Yes.
But it makes your driveway wider. The other thing is, too, if that was generally the way people did Dulux, it would allow a car to go there and a car to go there if these things unfolded. So we've actually been talking about it today, that might be a better arrangement.
Okay.
On this side,
sure.
And then that becomes a better precedent for someone else doing the same thing. The other thing I noticed is in the side elevations, I think the way I'd probably draw them is to try and recognise where the fence is and where the house is so that you can actually take stock of windows. Like this window here, I think, overlooks their roof. I don't think that's actually...
That's the kitchen,
so, you know, you might want to look. How does that impact on the house, you know? I think there's a bedroom back here. So there are ways that you can actually, I think, just be careful. I'll just show you, like, for instance, on the east elevation, I think there are areas where it would sort of look to me as though you can be more prudent with screening,
mm-hmm.
just so that
sure.
you know, it's a model that's going into a street that's predominantly not these.
Mm.
It's just a way of controlling side views. I think views to the street and views to the rear, they're good.
Sure.
The side windows, I think it's just a case of being prudent about where they are,
mm-hmm.
Where they are in, up in the air and so forth, and just being careful that okay. way. So we're liable to make a note on those two issues.
Sure.
Yep.
Sorry, Larissa, can you turn your mic on, please?
Sorry, just quickly, in terms of, I can see you've got a, further to Brendan's comment, is for the kitchen, it looks like you've got a window hood.
Yes, correct.
Is that over, or is that one of those angled so that when...
It's over the top and actually down the side, so
yeah,
they can't
know.
Actually view further up to the sort right. of southwest.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
South
okay,
south.
I'll see.
Treatment
okay.
there,
yeah.
But I didn't know if you're, you know, you can have those kind of a little bit of a blade wall that
mm-hmm.
kind of sticks out, so then when you're in the kitchen, you know, that's kind of reducing your view.
The impact.
And then you're not seeing out there, but I didn't know if it was a hood
sure.
over, like just coming...
It's just a foot over the top of the window head and down to the back of the window, basically. So
oh,
they
okay.
From each dwelling, they can't view southeast and southwest.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Back, yep, okay, yep, thanks.
One other thing I wanted to ask you. What's the material you're building from?
External material?
Yep.
So we'll have a range of fibre cement claddings for them.
All right.
So... Either, it just depends on the client budget at the end of the day what we actually select, but, yeah.
It's on here. The only thing that's not on here is your colour scheme.
Sure.
Because I think you've got the cladding and you've got brickwork and
yes.
hardwood timber battens and so forth.
Yes.
So presume your colour schemes...
We haven't actually nominated one
right.
for that development. I don't believe it's a requirement for that type of development with Wollongong Council.
Yeah. Council.
But we would normally do that. Well, sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. So, yeah, we don't actually select those materials until the builder's on board. Sometimes the clients have input, so we don't generally do that for DA in probably majority of these small residential cases. Yeah. So just going back to the parking issue,
mm-hmm.
council have a DCP clause for stack parking as well. So I guess it's a situation where if you don't want to be varying particular parts of the policy, then that's why we've gone for that approach.
It just looks to us as though it's suggesting the whole frontage of the building is dominated by driveway.
Sure.
And I don't think that's an acceptable outcome.
Okay.
Or was that was how we were feeling, because that actually really that is actually taking stock of your neighbours who are saying this is totally out of character.
Mm.
And one of the things that hasn't been really noted, but it would be the first thing they'd notice, is just all that paving.
Mm.
Whereas the idea that you would have side gardens and trees, I think, is a better outcome.
Okay. Sure.
Not to mention a gateway. You know, the other thing that a single detached house has is a path that leads to a front door.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, if you're walking around a car or something, it's a different idea.
Sure.
Any other questions? No? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your attendance. That concludes item 3 and that concludes the meeting. I'll formally close the meeting at 5:54. Thank you.